We might be on the verge of a world first in gender equality for sports pay. The New Zealand Football Association wants to have both men and women under the same collective agreement. That would mean equal pay and conditions. So how realistic is it? Professor of Sport Management at AUT, Jeff Dixon, is with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
So theory versus reality. Isn't this, in all reality, or shouldn't it be, based on income? What a sport generates, the players get a slice of the action.
In practice, it's both, I think, very good theory and very good practice. The specific circumstances of Football New Zealand is that the demands being placed on them by the Professional Footballers Association should not hit their financial bottom line too greatly. I applaud the Footballers Association for what they're doing, and I encourage the New Zealand football to listen to their demands.
So should every sports or professional player, whether they be male or female, do you think, be paid the same or not?
No, I don't think it's quite that simple because in certain contexts, the male and the female athlete will essentially be working for different organisations. Professional tennis, professional golf are two good examples of that. But when you have the male and female working essentially within the same organisation, essentially on behalf of a national sports organisation, the argument for gender equity gets much, much stronger.
And so if you are under the umbrella of the same organisation, but the commercial side of the equation doesn't equal the amount for the women, for example, as it does for the men, do you subsidise the women?
That's certainly one option. I think the organisations involved need to look at the what I'll call the scale and the scope of the demands. The present demands here do not seem to be excessive, and we're not talking about remuneration or salary packages. The specific instance at the moment is really about equity in terms of travel and the class of travel to international sporting events. That does not seem to be unreasonable.
Do you worry then about the precedent? So if you start out subsidising somebody because it needs to be fair or there needs to be pay equity, once you've set that precedent, do you then start going down a slippery slope that you may not be able to get out of?
It's certainly possible, but I don't think the slippery slope argument is an especially strong one. I think each instance should be addressed on its merits. And again, in this particular instance, I think it's quite a reasonable claim and one that I think there'll be sufficient pressure being placed on Football New Zealand to ensure equity of air travel.
What about the difference in sports? So some sports, for example, I mean, rugby would be your classic example. The difference between men's and women's rugby in terms of commercial return is enormous. The difference perhaps between the All Whites and the women's team isn't as great.
That's certainly the case. If we are talking about salaries here, it would be impractical for some organisations to simply draw a line in the sand and to say, yes, we're going to create gender equity in terms of pay. It could be achieved if you essentially in most instances, divide the men's salaries in half and gave the other half to the women. But fundamentally, any sports organisation these days needs to, very much keep an eye on gender equity. Sepp Blatter, the FIFA boss of many decades, came out, 20 years ago and said the future of football is feminine, and he was 100% correct. And here's a chance now for Football New Zealand to draw a line in the sand about their commitment to women's football.
Jeff, appreciate your time very much.